The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
And now for our final item of today, and continuing with our theme of friendship, I'm joined as always at this time on a Wednesday by Simon Tiersney. And today he's going to tell us how to do more stuff, the stuff you do every day, but you mightn't be great at it. Simon, I think I've given it away, but what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about how to make a new friend.
A new friend.
And the reason we're doing this, obviously you had Henry on earlier talking about friendship, but it's the United Nations International Day of Friendship. So we're looking at how the importance of making new friends, but also maintaining old friends. And it's something that has actually been on my mind quite a bit, Mandy, because I'm in my early 40s. I've got a young family, and I've noticed definitely over the last few years that it is harder to keep up old friendships. And certainly the idea of making new friends. I can't remember the last time I made a new friend. It's not easy.
Mm. Do you want any new friends?
Well,
have you enough, maybe?
As an experiment, just before I came into studio, I had a look at my Facebook profile, which has been active since probably 2006 or 2000. No, probably a little bit, 2007, something like that. And it says that Simon Tiersney has 693 friends. I could probably name about 15 of them.
Isn't that funny? Like, I mean, no. But you're of a generation, and you know, you're younger than I am, much younger than I am. But we know that that is not our friendship core group, right? Yeah. We know that isn't. But there's a whole generation who think that those virtual friends are their friends' friends.
Sure, yeah. And I mean, there's one study that suggests that there are a finite number of friends that you can have in the world. And they suggest that, well, first of all, there's three or four different categories of friends. So you have acquaintances.
Firstly, define what a friend is. Like, how
So a friend is someone that you have a shared experience with, okay? But technically speaking, it's someone that you have spent at least 90 hours with.
Is that a long time?
90 hours. I mean, if you were to stuff that into days, it wouldn't be very long.
It's not long.
But if it's an hour or two here and there, yeah, it is a long time.
Yeah.
But for a close friend, it's a minimum of 200 hours, right? Mm. Now, if you have different categories of friends, so, you know, you might have a work acquaintance, you might have a casual friend that you occasionally see, that might be someone that you know through another friend. And then there's a friend and close friend. Now, the study in the University of Kansas suggested that the mind can only really cope with or have capacity for five close friendships.
You're way over your limit on Facebook with 600.
Way over my limit.
No wonder you have no 15 time.
15 friends and 50 casual friends. So that's the sort of numbers we're dealing with. So obviously, the number of close friends that you have is much smaller than the number of kind of acquaintances that you have. So, you know, listeners who are at home or in the car listening to this, you know, does that tally with your own situation? Is, you know, the idea of five very close friends, I think a lot of people would probably say,
yeah, I think that's,
you know,
probably
three,
right.
Three to five.
Yeah, yeah.
Close friends.
And then there's this idea of, because of course a lot of us now spend a lot of our time in our working lives, you know, and you acquire friends in every job that you go to, and you kind of carry some of them on. You don't carry all of them on. But there's this notion of what is a manufactured friend or an organic friend.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because when you're a kid, you are exposed to so many new people all the time that developing friendships is a very natural and organic process. But for people who are middle-aged and upwards, it becomes more difficult. And you actually really have to manufacture the circumstances in which a friendship can materialize in the first place. So, for example, that might be going to join a new club, whether it's a sports club or, you know, something else like a gardening club or woodwork club or whatever it is, a knitting circle or whatever. That's actively going out to seek new friendship. That doesn't mean that there's something artificial about a new friendship in that environment. It means that you've created fertile ground for where a friendship might develop.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes perfect sense. And I guess we saw the statistics earlier in the week about loneliness and that there's a lot of people who are suffering now from isolation because a lot of people are living inside their devices and stuff. So this could become a growing phenomenon, maybe not a phenomenon, but a growing practice where you actually have to invest time, effort, energy to seeking out a friendship.
Yeah, I think so. But it's hard. Like in my own personal situation, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners feel the same way, it's hard to actually find the time to do that, to create those opportunities. Before I had kids, I was a member of a tennis club. Mm. And I used to play there two or three times a week and I loved it. And I was always meeting new people. Whereas when I had kids then, I completely fell out of that. Didn't have time. And now, 5 years later, that my eldest child is five, I'm actively considering ways that I can return to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I recognize and appreciate that I've lost something.
Because it is valuable, isn't it, to, you know, even encounter people on a casual basis, maybe once or twice a week, who are not in your family circle, who are not in your work circle, who are completely different.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's really nice sometimes for a lot of people to discuss things that are different to your own work situation.
And your own world.
Yeah.
And realize other people have other problems.
One of the barriers that a lot of people, Mandy, have in forming new friendships when you're an adult is this idea of the acceptance prophecy. And I love this because I think I suffer from this myself, is that you think, you assume that people aren't going to accept you as readily as they might. So this can create a kind of a social awkwardness about joining a new club or, you know, maybe going to a new running group on a Wednesday evening after work or even joining a new gym. And what happens is that we feel kind of self-conscious when we're entering a group of pre-established friends.
Mm.
It's almost like your first day at school again, if you're joining a new club. And what the acceptance prophecy teaches, this is this psychological concept, is that if you go into a new group of people and you presume that those people are going to like you, the chances of you assimilating into that group are actually higher.
Mm.
And the reason for that is because if you go into a group of people and you don't think that they're going to accept you, you tend to be a little bit standoffish because that's a defense mechanism against what you are projecting will be your own failure in that social situation.
That's actually fascinating. So it's a bit of fake it till you make it. And if you don't do that, and if you feel like an outsider, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You will come across that way.
Yeah.
And yeah, but you can see also, as you're talking there, how as an adult, it is more difficult because as a child, you don't have those, I mean, you're afraid to go to school, you're afraid of new environments, stuff, but you don't have those preconceived things as bad, like that I won't fit in, that they're already established. You're kind of freer, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, kids, I think, probably do have an element of that. It can be scary for kids entering a new, like my daughter is about to start primary school now for the first time in September. And I'm very conscious at the moment of making sure that we've considered all the things that will help her to assimilate, that she won't feel left out.
But when she goes into school or she meets someone, the likelihood is she'll gravitate towards people she likes. She won't evaluate their socioeconomic background. You know, I mean, she'll just like...
Mandy, I hope she will. She's far more discerning than you give her credit for.
Maybe she will. Maybe she's going to a very different school to the one I went to.
It's more natural, isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, I suppose you just become more self-conscious. So we're talking about adults here who do want to make more friends, okay? So apart from the joining the clubs where you might feel that you're on the outside and you should pretend that you're already on the inside, what other ways could people, if they're listening to this and they actually do want to build up their friendship base, like what else would you recommend?
Well, I think it's really worth considering whether you're a man or a woman. I'm interested in this because the general consensus from some of the psychology that I've read around this is that women do tend to make friends more easily, but they also tend to have deeper friendships with their close friends. Mm. Right? I'll give you an example of this, is that I have a very good friend of mine, one of those five close friends, but he lives very, very far away in a different part of the world. And we would text every now and then. And whenever I say to my wife that we had been texting earlier in the day, she says, "Oh, how is he?" And I'm always at a loss for words because I don't know how he is. We haven't discussed that at all in our text chain. It's all surface, superficial things, jokes, commenting on whatever story is in the news. And my wife is baffled by that.
Yeah, no, it's a very different thing. I think men's long-term friendships are on the surface more than the female one. But I do think there's longevity to the real friendships that men make.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I hope so. There's a loyalty there. Not that there isn't with women's friendships, but men do depend on those relationships. And when you get into hard times, I think it will be those 3 to 5 close friends that you might turn to.
Well, look, it's fascinating and a lovely, lovely way to end International, or is it UN? UN Friendship
United
Day?
Nations.
United Nations, sorry. United Nations Friendship Day. Thank you very much to Simon Tierney for giving us all that great advice.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.